All right, good afternoon, family. My name is Joseph. I'm an addict. I want to thank my higher power for lifting me up and bringing me here to this convention out in Ocean City, Maryland. It's just by God's grace, I'm clean another day. And before I thank the convention, I just want to thank Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous was formed in July 1953, and we're celebrating 50 years. I got this shirt. It's nifty to be 50, and that's a milestone. So let's give a round of applause for Narcotics Anonymous. A lot of people back then said it couldn't be done. Well, living proof says it's being done, and it's still being done, and let's keep it going. And, you know, I just want to share something before I get into the topic. You know, something that happened back home, and it's just a moment of silence. One of the predecessors that brought Narcotics Anonymous to New York City, where I'm from, had just recently passed away. I think he had 26 years or 25. I'm not sure. But I know no matter what, he died clean. And that's the blessing of this whole thing. No matter what, we don't have to use just for today. And I'll just take a moment for that. All right, my name is Joseph. I'm an addict. I like the topic that I want to thank the convention, the GPRC, Regional Convention of, you know, to ask me to come down and share. It's an honor to come down and share at a convention for anybody. You know, and I always keep this in mind when I share. It's always for the newcomer, for the addict who's still sick and suffering. And for the person that's struggling, trying to find a new way of life, well, you're in the right place today. They gave me the topic, living principles. And I have this little distinction about the topic for a second, because it's called living principles, not living spiritual principles. And that was a little contest, because spiritual principles are a little higher than living principles. But I know that one of the principles today that I live by is, no matter what, I don't use. I have to have that in number one thing, because once I do, all bets are off. You know, I want to just share a little bit how I got to Narcotics Anonymous, because after using drugs for 17 years, after a while, they just didn't work no more. At the beginning, it was good, but things started to happen. And you know what? I got here to Narcotics Anonymous by means of a treatment facility. That's where I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous, the message of hope. There's hope in this room right now. And I was sitting in a chair right about where the young lady's sitting right there. And they were bringing them in, and they were sharing, no matter what, don't pick up, go to meetings, ask for help. And I, you know, I got it so loud, like I was getting a wind from my hair. And I'll never forget that, because I was touched right by then, there and now. Maybe there is hope. Maybe I can do this. And you know what? Today, Wednesday, if I don't pick up by Wednesday, I'll have 7.5 years clean. A day at a time. That is the blessing of this whole thing. And, you know, I just keep in mind how I got here. I just, like I said, I work with airplanes. And I share that because I'm still at the same job today after I destroyed that job, did the things that you're not supposed to do, kept doing, until I had had an accident at my job. And, you know, I got that drug test that proved me I was positive for drugs, and I always lived in denial. I wasn't an addict. But guess what? That was probably the best thing that ever happened to me today. I'm still there. I'm still working there. But, you know, that was the awakening. The awakening. No more living in that denial that I'm an addict. Because I was never an addict. I was a user. You people were addicts. Not me. Not Joey the Great I Am. I was just a user. I was a person that used drugs. You people were addicted because you were living in cardboard boxes. You were living under the bridge. You were living here. You were shooting dope. You were taking methadone. I didn't do all that. I only smoked angel dust and crack. Okay, excuse me. But you know what? I learned today that once an addict, always an addict. True. But just for today, we're recovering. But I knew that once I started, I couldn't stop. Once I started, that's it. We went to the bitter ends all the time. And I know once the thought got into my mind, I went and used. So after combing around, getting clean a little bit, starting to get into the process of 12 steps, I started to identify with the word, I am an addict. Let's look at me. Look at my character. Look at my patterns. So now we know that. So now, once I knew that I was an addict, now I know that's the problem, what's the solution? What is the solution? Well, I know today that I know that no matter what, I don't use. And I say this because I live by principles today. You know, and I have sponsees in my life that I try to help them, guide them through the process of 12 steps, 12 traditions. I try. You know, we get into the 12th step. It talks about having had a spiritual awakening. As a result, we try to carry this message to Adam and practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, I'm doing this voluntarily. I'm not getting paid to come up here and do this. But I know that I can't keep what I have unless I give it to you. I can't. The only way I'm going to grow is by helping you. And I get my spiritual awakening a lot of times by sharing something with somebody and they get something. When all the times they never get it. That's how I get my spiritual awakening, man. I get energized by that. But I know today, one act help another without parallel. That is a principle I live by. Because I don't go run to the bar when I'm going through shit. I come to Narcotics Anonymous. I don't go run to the psychiatrist because my girlfriend played me like a violin. I don't go do that. I come to Narcotics Anonymous. These are principles I live by. Because I know now that I'm clean, that I can't pick up no matter what. So the thought of using drugs, it's there for a brief minute, but I got to let go of that because I know I can't use successfully. I can't do one. Did anybody ever try to do one drug? Did anybody ever try to eat one potato chip out of a bag? Try that. I know that once I start, I can't stop. I would like to be the person that could do one, like, I'm going home for tonight and that's the end of it. Never happened. We addicts. We can't use success. So that's why we're all in here. Anybody that walked into this door today, you're an addict. Don't believe another. If you think you're a doctor or lawyer, if you are, just for now, you're an addict. I'll welcome you. I'll give you a hug. I'll give you my phone number. Because there's only one promise here. The message is hope, and the promise is freedom from active addiction. No addict seeking recovery shall ever die. And I say this today. We all have one common bond. The disease of addiction, how we stay clean a day at a time. So it's the big eyes, no little use. We're all here for the same purpose, for the message. It's not the messenger, it's the message. And I know today that I welcome in Narcotics Anonymous. I feel part of. And I keep coming back to this. You know, I try to practice the slogan of keeping it simple. Because I want to keep it simple on how I live clean. Because I can tell you the harvest stories and the war stories, what it's like to use. I come to Narcotics Anonymous to be reminded of what it was like to use. Because I never want to forget that. I never want to forget when I ran out of money. I never want to forget, like, when I had a whole table full of drugs, I never had a problem. But when the drugs ran out, now I got a problem. Never had a problem using. Who had a problem using? Anybody? Not me. Then when they ran out, now what do you do? Well, guess what? Just for today, I don't have that problem. I don't have that situation because there ain't no drugs to start with. And that's the blessing of it. You know, I noticed today that I had to write this down. A principle, the definition, in the dictionary has principle. How to write this down? There's four of them. A basic truth, law, or assumption. Nah. An ethical code or standard. A basic source. A basic quality determining the essential nature or characteristic behavior. And this is the one that I fits Joey. A fixed policy or mode of action. Reason why I say that is I live by fixed principles today. No matter what I don't use, all right, I go to meetings. And the reason why I share it is because meeting makers make it. I found out where you're going to hear the message of hope. You're going to hear it in a meeting. You're going to hear it in a Narcotics Anonymous room. You're going to hear it at a convention where we're at right now. You're going to get them hugs that, the reason why I share it is hugs help me grow spiritually. I got a shirt on that says, I give unconditional hugs. I didn't even know it was on it until after I bought the shirt and I was wearing it. But you know, this is what we do today. I never had unconditional anything when I was out there. But I know that I live by policies in my life. I have to. I don't rationalize and I don't compromise my recovery. I don't take my recovery and put it on the Jeopardy wheel tonight. On Jeopardy. I don't do that no more. At the beginning, I did things like that. Because when I came in here, I didn't want to work no program. I wanted to sit all the way in the back and take everybody's inventory. Why? Why not? Because I didn't want this. I didn't really want it. I just came because I came to Narcotics for other reasons than myself. I came for the job because I wasn't working when I had that accident. They fired me because I had a dirty urine, had enough drugs to kill an elephant in me. I came to find a girl that didn't use. I said, well, this is a place. Everybody else is supposed to not be using, so I can find a girl here. But you know what? Stupid motives. But today, I can actually say this is for me, and this is my recovery, and I'm here for me today. And I always say this, sponsorship That's another thing principle I live by. Very important. You cannot work this program unless you have a sponsor. It's the backbone of the program. A sponsor? No, the recovering addict that's been through the process of recovery. He's here to help you guide through. I thought a sponsor, I always say this, if anybody doesn't have a sponsor, listen for one. Don't just pick one. Listen, because you got to find words. Because I picked my first sponsor because he had a long gold chain, big car outside, new set of teeth because I was losing one or two. You know, things like that. Hey, we got teeth today, right? You know, and like, that's what I picked. But you know what? That was not what I needed. I needed the sponsor that had 12 steps, 12 traditions, that had clean time, that seemed happy, that carried a message to addicts, that held other sponsees, that did service in Narcotics Anonymous. That was the sponsor I needed. And today, that's the sponsor I have. I called him last night to tell him where I was at. And you know why? He said, go for it, knock him out. You know, and like, these are the things that I live by today because I have a program. This is the best relapse prevention program in the world, Narcotics Anonymous. This is it. Why are we here? To prevent ourselves from picking up. I don't want to use today. I know today that another principle I live by is the people, places, and things. If I go around people that are using, how long is it going to be before I start using? If I go to a bar, you know I'm going to have a drink after a while. Sit there and drink Coca-Cola. Come on. Give me a break. Give me a break with that. That just doesn't work. Now, if I go around, those are things I have to stay away from because I know through experience, through my experience, and you people have told me it doesn't work. How it works? The process of 12 steps. Admitting that you have a problem with drugs. Meaning that you can't do one. And then when you use it, your life becomes unmanageable. And guess what? Your life could be unmanageable even being clean. But we can work on that because we don't have that, you know, that disease. And I always say my disease talks to me sometimes. Like I say, when my disease starts talking to me, I tell my disease, thank you for sharing. We got a nice way of closing. Because I don't want it because I know where that shit's going. Because I can sit and dwell with that all day and start acting out on it. See, I learned another principle that I share by is I think today. I can think clearly. To think like, maybe I better run a videotape of what I've been doing all these years. Because if I don't think, I'm going to act. And how many times we acted off impulse? Anybody ever acted off impulse in there? I did. When the door came, when news. Well, now when the door comes to my mind, I'll play that tape. And I want to be reminded what it did to me. What that last one, where it brought me. Because I never want to go back. Just for today. I learned to live in today, not yesterday and not tomorrow, because I always say yesterday's history and tomorrow's a mystery. But you know what? I want what I get what I need just for today. There's a one day at a time program. I ask my higher power. Let's talk about higher power for a minute. You know, I have to have a higher power. Another principle I live by is having a higher power. The reason why I'm going this way is because in the basic text of Narcotics Anonymous, there's principles and there's spiritual principles. And like, I know this is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I know surrender is the key. And I'm tired of surrendering to put your hands on top of your head. This is the police. Lay down on the floor. You know what I'm saying? I surrender here with a white flag because my ass was whipped. And I learned that when I surrendered in Narcotics Anonymous, I was a winner. There's no losers in here today. No losers. Everybody's a winner. Because we don't have to die no more. When you surrender, you're a winner. World War II, when you surrender, that means you ran out of ammunition. When you come here and surrender, you're going to get a little bit at a time, the tools on how to stay clean a day at a time. And I like the fact that we are the best people. We have the best qualities in us, and we don't know it. But as we go along and we work this process, you will see your qualities come out. When you get into the steps, and especially the fourth step, you'll see that we have good qualities. Yeah, we got messed up qualities too, but you know, this is a program of change, positive change of old behaviors. I say this, if you don't change the person you brought in, that same person is going to take you out of here. So I make them changes. I know today that my higher power today is not Star Trek. When I came in here, I had Star Trek as my higher power. That worked for about 8 months. That was a nice little thing, you know, because I was one of them, take me aboard, let's go for another ride. But you know, today, I termly got with good orderly direction. good orderly direction, because I need some good orderly direction. I need some guidance. I don't know where to go. All I know is bad things. My disease went shit. I want to do bad things. You know, I don't know how to live life on life's terms. That's why I came to Narcotics Anonymous, to learn how to live. You know what? It's just a beautiful process, man. These beautiful people sitting in here right now. And, you know, I learned how to use a phone in Narcotics Anonymous. Learn how to use a phone. Simple stuff. You're going through stuff and you can't make a meeting, pick up the phone. It only takes two people to have a meeting. You can have a meeting over the phone if you have to. I carry this little thing in my wallet. I share that because sometimes I'm at, you know, work and stuff. With the readings, I keep it in my wallet for a reason, because that tells my whole story for the day. Because sometimes I can't get to a meeting, but I learn how to ask for help. Ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. That's what we do. When we're going through, so we ask for help. One act helping another is without parallel. And I like the fact that when I'm going through stuff and I share it, somebody in a meeting or wherever I'm at is going through the same thing that I'm going through or been through it. That's how we do this. I hate when people tell me they're going through a divorce and can I help them? No, I've never been through a divorce. I'm trying to learn how to have a girlfriend here. I'm trying. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm trying to keep it simple. You know, but you know, these are the things like today. I can say I don't have the experience. I don't try to talk off the top of my head. I try to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. See, I say this program is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Program stands for people relying on God to relay a message. And the reason why I share it is my higher power sent me down here to relay this message to you through people. God works through people. God's present. You can't see him because he's working through me right now. I ain't no worshiper guru, nothing like that. I mean, I go to church on Sunday, but I'm only going there to pray for my recovery. I don't go to pray like I'm going to heaven. This is it. I'm in heaven now. I've been to hell. Where's left to go? Heaven or hell? Take your pick. We're all going to heaven right now. We're in it. I'm in it right now because I've been there. So when people tell me I'm going to ride hell, I'm like, yeah, all right. Thank you. You know, I have to share, but this is my experience, my strength, and my hope. Because today I live by guidelines. Now, the serious one is, now this is how it works. I live by the 12 steps. I live by the 12 steps. And the reason why I share it is because I know I'm powerless over my addiction. I know that Star Trek ain't my higher power. I know that I make decisions today in the best interest of my recovery. Decisions to act or result of making up one's mind to change. Do I want to turn my will over to God, or do I want to keep my will? Well, I've tried everything else. That ain't working. Maybe God could do something with this. Let's give it to him. We gave it to the drug dealers, right? We gave it to Flacco. See, only sometimes I take my will back is because I don't think God works fast enough. So that comes down later on. See, when we learn about patience and tolerance, I have no patience, I have no tolerance, but a little bit at a time, I learn. I come here to learn. You know, I know today that when I did my inventory, I learned to have good qualities. I got bad qualities. I know I hurt people. I know I harm people. I know I have character defects. But here we're starting to identify. Now we can make changes. We can correct a little bit at a time. Now, we're not going to be perfect in here. No. But I know today that I'm in a lot better space than I was when I got here. You know, it's a blessing not to wear handcuffs no more. It's a blessing to when you go to a hospital, it's because you're sick. Not because the police brought you in there because you couldn't figure out what your name was. How many times that happened? You know, I'm just trying to do this, you know. But I got to have a guideline of something I live by. I live by Narcotics Anonymous. You know, they talk about all the recovering addicts. This is very important. What we can't do alone, we can do together. When I help another without power, you cannot bend that. In the 12 traditions, it talks about we talk to different people. Well, we visit various groups and talk to members. I learned how to talk in Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to speak because I was one of them quiet people. I didn't want you to know who I was. I wore a mask. I didn't want you to know who I was. If I hugged you, that was a mannequin hug. And if I talked, it was probably false lip service. Because I didn't want you to know who I was. Well, today, a little bit at a time, I let people know who I am. And it's a beautiful thing. And I know by God's grace, like, oh, he's in charge. You know, I got to share something. I got a car outside. And like, rental cars don't make cars with cassette players no more. What is the problem with that? Well, Joey the Great I Am, I was ready to take the car with a CD player. And God drove that Buick LeSabre in there with the cassette player. Of course, I got all my recovery on tape. I'm not in a CD mode yet. I'm a little slowpoke. But you know what? They wanted me to have a car with somebody. I'm grateful. Well, the real reason is it has the satellite disc MPX in there. That too, but that wasn't the reason why I wanted it. I wanted it because of the cassette player. This is, you know, but this is how things work. Because, you know, sometimes, like, we could lose our cool and wind up blowing it all and wind up with a junk box. But, you know, today I know I let go, let God. Guide me through this. Show me how to live, man. I practice the third step prayer all the time. Know the principle that I live by? In the morning when I wake up, God, take my will in my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live just for today. Then when I go to bed at night, thank him. These are things I do to stay clean. These are principles I live by. And I try to carry this to my sponsees. You want what I have, then you have to do what I do to get it. I know that surrender is the key. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to write a gratitude list? When I ask my sponsors to write a gratitude, all I ask is, I'm looking for one thing. Are you grateful to be alive? I don't want to hear about the rest of that stuff because I know that if I stay clean, I'll have all that. The key is I put my recovery first, priority number one. Without my recovery, I got nothing. Without nothing today. Another thing I live by is that trying to find that time for me, that meditation time, that little time to get with the man upstairs. I want to read something. Here it is. Many of us have found that setting aside quiet time for ourselves is helpful in making a conscious contact with our higher power. By quieting the mind, meditation can lead us to calmness and serenity. The quieting of the mind can be done in any place, time, and matter according to the individual. But sometimes I lack that. I lack the time. And I sometimes have no time. Sometimes I go to meetings just like I can nod out in the back. And then people see it. I think I might have dozed off in one of the meetings earlier. But you know what? They told me, bring your body, your mind will follow later because I know I'm in the right place. I'd rather be dozing off in a meeting than dozing off God knows where else. But I know today, I know I'm in the right spot. I know I'm in the right spot. But you know, today, this does work. These are some of the principles that I live by. And I enforce them all the time. I go here to be reminded. I want to grow in recovery. You know, I was at a meeting once, and they were talking about the broadening of the base, the raising the point of freedom. And I didn't know what that was. Well, I know what it is today. The more I do in Narcotics Anonymous, the higher the point of freedom I'm going to get. That is the key. That's what I learned. So I try to go in for this full blast. I try to do as much as I can. I commitments, everything. I got a full plate. I want to do more, but I got to know where the line is to draw. Because too much too soon could probably kill me. But I know today that I keep it simple. I know that what I put in is what I get out. And if I put nothing in, I'm not getting nothing. It's like a bank book. And I know if using is the question, what is the answer? If using is the answer, what's the question? Because that's how addicts think. Oh, we'll go use. You know, I've experienced a lot of things in my recovery. Good, bad, and different. I didn't use. So I worked this to the best of my ability. These are some of the principles that I live by. There's a lot more. We can get in depth. But I know one thing. And I got to talk about relapse for a second. Because if I don't live by these principles, relapse is just a flick of the switch away. I go from recovery to relapse by a light switch. That's how fast. How much time I got? 2, 3? 7 minutes. That's good. And I talk because relapse for me is when I'm not working a program. When I don't want to do nothing. When I just want to go to meetings and not do nothing. When I want to do nothing. When I pick up the phone, not call nobody. Not read the literature. Not call my sponsor. Not call other recovering addicts. That's when relapse is starting to play. Now, I learned that I could relapse without picking up. Very important. I could relapse without picking up. And I know the first thing that goes all the time. the meetings. That, I ain't got time for that. That phone, I ain't going to call him. The basic text, I close that. That goes on the shelf. You know, these are the things. I start working this program backwards until I use, and I go and die. Well, I don't know if I'm going to die, but I just don't want to even think about it just for today because I know what the end results are. You know, when I went to treatment and I went to jail, well, I got locked up. That was like a shortcut out. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. That was probably the best thing that ever happened. But see, I wasn't ready. When the pain outweighs the pain, you will be ready. Pain gets so great, man, you're running here. Somebody said to me, I should be careful what I say at meetings, because I might scare somebody out of here. Yeah, but you know what? I want to know what scared you in here. You know, it makes, you know, because I want to know how you got here. You know, I mean, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get carried away, but I try to keep it simple. I'm trying to learn not how to curse my recovery. So if anybody's here, like listening, tell me if I curse, because I don't think so yet. You know, it's something I'm trying to work on. You know, and this is practice. But you know, today, I know I'm in a great spot. You know, and like, being here at a convention in another state, it's like an honor. And I'm just grateful to people that found this place, that opened the doors up, watch it grow. Somebody planted a seed and look what it blossomed into. Proof is shown in the way you're living, what you're doing in your recovery. See, we could have abstinence. Abstinence, I just don't use. But when you go into recovery, it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. It'll take you to places where you, when you used to sit home and fantasize that you did that blast, say, I'm going, you ain't did nothing. But now you clean, you can start fulfilling it every day. You know, I sometimes I sound like a preacher. Somebody said that to me, but I said, you know what? I didn't write this. It's coming out of a book. Yeah, principle. See this? It's a meeting list. It's like the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. I tell people. Especially where I come from, there's a meeting everywhere, every time, every hour, wherever. Don't leave home without it. I'm sure when you went out to go smoke, I'm sure you brought that paraphernalia with you. You want to forget that. Because what good is the paraphernalia? What good is the drug without that to smoke it in? Correct? You know, what could it, you know, it, like I said, these are things I live by. You know, I try to tell people, what you know, how to do this. I try to guide you, guide myself. I need to be guided. But you know what? I just feel blessed here, being here today. You know, I'm all the people that live down here, I brought good weather. I'm confessing to that. Because I've been in New York, it's been raining. But you know what? I didn't use. How many times it rained, I used. How many times it was your birthday and I used. How many times it was cold? But you know what? I look today at what am I doing today in my recovery? What am I doing? How am I living? And this is the beauty of it. No matter what, we're in the right place today. You know, I'm going to close with this. Because I can stay up here. Like, I'm 39 years old. Like, I'll be celebrating 7.5 years clean, and I don't believe the things I've fulfilled. Now, there's one thing I don't like, is that I think I gained a few pounds while getting clean. You know, we went out last night. I got to share with some of the people on the committee here. We went out to this place. It was like the 12 apostles at the Last Supper. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? That's okay. But when you start feeling it, and the pain starts outweighing the pain, you'll do something. Because I need pain to motivate me. Pain is to motivate me for you to do anything. See, procrastination, like I don't want to pay bills. Yeah, all right, the bill I won't pay. Next month, we're threatening you. Yeah, I'll pay. That's how it got to be sometimes. Well, we'll shut your electric. Go, all right, I'll pay. Little things. But I know today what motivates me. But I know this is what's working. Because after you tried it all, this is what's working. I tried everything. What they say in the first step, new lovers, new houses, new job, all that. Guess what? Still didn't work. I found this. This is what's working, so I'm going to keep it working. If anybody's new or coming around here, listen to learn. Keep coming back. This too shall pass. If you don't pick it up, you don't get high. And nobody said they love you today. I do. Narcotics Anonymous does. My name is Joey. I'm an addict.
Thank you for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Chris W.
All right.
I'm an addict named Chris. Thank you, Joey. Big short. I'm going to say this in close. So. Just figured I'd get that out the way. About a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, somebody from the committee called me and asked me would I do a workshop. And they told me the topic was living the program. And I know that the program's the steps and the traditions, and if I live the steps and traditions, I get experience at applying the principles, living the principles. So nothing's really out of order, you know. But I didn't find it out until like 2 hours ago when that it's actually living principles, you know. And funny thing was the same guy on the committee called me about 3 days ago. I was in my car, and it was funny. I had just come from work. I had resolved an issue that was going on with me and my supervisor, and I was feeling real good because I had actually applied spiritual principles. You know, I was patient, tolerance. I was tolerant, practiced integrity, you know, because I thought they were doing me wrong, and I liked the results. I was feeling real good, and he called me, and he was confirming that I got my confirmation letter, you know, and I hadn't received it yet. And he said, well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. This is your topic. You know, you're supposed to share Friday, 3 p.m., and he thanked me for being willing to serve, and I was explaining to him it's an honor anytime somebody thinks enough of my recovery to ask me to share. You know, in the midst of all this, you know, exchange of gratitude and all that, somebody cut in front of me in traffic and slammed on brakes. And all my papers that was on the seat fell on the floor. My soda spilled over in the car, right? And I wasn't feeling real spiritual no more, right? And I was like, man, what the? And then I realized I got this committee member on the phone who asked me to share about living the program and all that. So, I caught myself, you know, and I didn't catch myself because it was the right thing to do. I caught myself because I had that committee member on the phone, and that's pretty much how I live my life. I can conform when I'm under surveillance, you know what I'm saying? You know, all my history of programs and different types of things, I conformed when I was being supervised. I grew up Catholic, you know. I was an altar server. I was a head altar server, you know, teen club president at the church. You know, I didn't curse. I volunteered, you know, and I was able to live that program because they were watching me. You know, people report back to my parents, you got such a good son. You know, he's mannered and all that stuff. And at home, I had a program there. My mother, you know, come in, do your homework before you go outside and play. When the lights come on, bring your ass in the house, you know. School, you got to get good grades, do your chores, and I did all that because my mom and dad were, like, watching over me, you know. Same thing for school. Got there on time, didn't cheat in class, you know, because the teachers was watching. Don't talk to me, you know. Don't talk in the back of the class and all those things, trying to be this model thing. But what happened was when I graduated from high school and I went off to college, I was cursed with freedom. You know, and that's when my program came in. And that's my program of choice, Chris's program. You know, the first rule of thumb was we're not going to cross-contaminate programs. Don't bring none of that church, mom, school shit down here. We're going to do things differently. And I started using, which led to my next program, which was a treatment program. Treatment program. You know, and the same thing there. Get up at 5:30, you know, eat three meals. We had to attend groups. You had to go to NA meetings. Lights out at 11. You could use the phone twice a week. If you went out, you had to take somebody with you. And I conformed there because I was under guidance. But one of the things I learned about Narcotics Anonymous is this program is designed to create people who do what they're supposed to do when nobody's watching. You know, and I'm not that person. You know, I have a desire to be that person, you know. So I came in this program, and I got a sponsor who started guiding me through the steps, and that's when I learned about principles, you know, and my life began to get better, you know, I don't want to stand up. When they first asked me about, he said living, like the topic, when he said living the program, I was like, this Chris, I said, this Chris W. Because I'm like, you got the wrong Chris. Because when I think of a topic like this, I think it's like this model addict. You know, the guy that got 20 years, or the female that got 20 years in the program, sponsoring 5-6 people, go to meeting every day, and praise, doesn't use profanity and all that stuff. And I'm not there all the time. Like I said, the guy cut me off in traffic. If you want to test my spirituality, let an incident like that happen. You know, drop $10 on the floor, and it's not a payday week. If you want to see how spiritual I am, you know. Now, drop $10 on the floor on a payday if you really want to see how spiritual I am, you know. And what happened was I came in here, I began to do step work, and through that step work, my life began to change. I was in treatment. I left the treatment center. I was unemployable by the time I got there. You know, today I have a career that I enjoy, truly enjoy. It has a good salary. I love doing it. I'm respected in my job. They think a lot about me. And one of the things they asked me to share, the topic, he said, was really about the 12th tradition. And he said, but if they said 12th tradition, there wouldn't be nobody in here. So so they disguised it as living principles. And so they tricked me and you all in this joint. And right. But one of the principles that I'm grateful for is anonymity. You know, I have the type of job, if they found out right now I was an addict, they would fire me, recovery or not. You know, so I take a risk and come and share on tape. You know, if it was left up to me, I would stand up here with my name on a paper and say, my name is, and I'm an addict, you know. But I'm an addict named Chris, you know. I'm an addict named Chris. You know, because I trust that spiritual anonymity means that what's said to me should stay in me, you know. And I trust that you all won't expose me, you know. What happened, I got clean and I started going to meetings. And like I said, I got a job. I have a career now. I dropped out of college to pursue a career in active addiction, you know. And once I got clean, I went back to school, you know, and I got my degree, a college degree, and I'm in the pursuit of my second degree, you know. I was homeless. I was living in a shelter. Actually, had gotten put out of a shelter. That's when you're doing real bad, when you get put out of a shelter, you know. And a month ago today, I went to settlement and purchased a home. You know, things are just happening. And a lot of times I get caught up in that, the house, the degree, you know. But those are just things that came as a result of not using. That don't mean that I'm applying spiritual principles. I'll apply one, surrender. You can get all that just by stop using, you know. And what I realized, what was happening to me was I was looking at those things and not looking at Chris. You know, yeah, I got a job, but I'm going to work cussing everybody out on the regular. You know, I got a car, you know, a new car, but I'm driving like a bat out of hell and cutting people off and chasing people down and all those things. And that topic's clean and crazy, if they had a topic for that, right? And, you know, and I'm not, I found myself, and I have to look at the path that I'm on. Because of those things, I look at the path that I'm on sometimes, and I discover that I'm not on the path anymore. You know, I've ventured off the path, and I'm just grateful that I got people who care enough about me to tell me that I'm off the beam. You know, that here recently, last year, when I was getting ready to come down here for the convention, I was emptying my suitcase out, and I had clothes in it. And I had pictures in there. And it was pictures and a videotape from my wedding, you know. And I got married last year. And it was a row of sonogram pictures in there, you know. My son, I found out I had a son. And when I got married, my wife at the time was 5 months pregnant. And 2 days after the wedding, her water broke, and the baby died. Damn. I laugh. I don't be crying and shit. The baby died. And 2 months later, the marriage was annulled. The literature says the program of Narcotics Anonymous provides this opportunity for us to ease the pain of living through spiritual principles. You know, I'm glad I had people in my life who were willing to share their spiritual sources and mental sources. Grateful I had a sponsor who was there. The 12th tradition says, I can't, but we can. It's a we program. The bottom line is, when it was all said and done, my clean date is still January 25th, 1999. You know, I found myself with the same emotional pain that I came in the program with. And you all gave me some tools that I can use over and over and over again, and that's the steps. I had to go back to the first step. I had to admit my powerlessness all over again. You know, I had to surrender. I had to get honest, you know. And it was real hard to do because I love her, you know. But I love me more, you know. And I wanted to stay in it for the sake of the fellowship. I had started bringing her around to meetings. She fine. You know, I wanted people to still see me walking with her. But what was going on the inside was something entirely different. And the literature says, rest assured, what's happening on the inside will be evident on the outside to others. You know, it's only a matter of time. You know, and I'm just grateful. It's funny because I got one of these bookmarks out of the my packet. I put my finger on it, and I got pray. And that's what I did. You know, I'm grateful for the serenity prayer and Kenny Rogers. And the reason I say that, yeah, I was in the car, right, when I was going right in the middle of this joint. It's funny how they coincide. You got to know when to hold them. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Know when to fold them. The courage to change the things that I can. Know when to run. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. And the wisdom know the difference. You know? And I was just playing. I was in the car like, you got the... Especially the part, you better count your blessings. You know? And it's getting better. You know, I can talk about it, you know, and I can look at my part. In the beginning, I was like, man, she this, she that, she this, she that, she. And it's funny because all the stuff I was saying, one of my friends was like, well, didn't you know all that before you got married? You know, but I came here wanting to be loved so much. It's a terrible thing when you want to be loved, but you don't want to get close to people. You know, my first NA convention here, I was going in and out the side door. Avoiding them damn hug squad people. You know. Hugging me. You know. It feel good, but it feel awkward. So don't, you know. It was unfamiliar to me. You know. I hugged. My father's 88 years old. I hugged him a full hug for the first time, like 2 years ago. And what gave me the courage to do that was right here in the program. You know. Living principles is not easy, you know, but I've been trying real hard here lately. This topic has helped me with that. Because I'm grieving, since honesty is a spiritual principle, they say honesty is the antidote to disease thinking. You know, I came down here this weekend with a whole nother agenda. You know, I was like, shit, it's a payday. I got a new car. I washed that junk. Got a couple of pieces of clothes. My, no sponsor. I had my own room. Yeah, I was going to use. Now, I ain't talking about drugs. Bro, I'm talking about that therapeutic value of one addict helping another use. You know, and then they give me, then they give me this topic, live the principles. On a Friday. Now I'm gonna be under surveillance for the rest of the weekend. You know, how the hell I'm gonna cut up tomorrow night at the dance? Man, I try to walk out of here with a newcomer, Mr. Living the Principles. You know, sometimes God will do for me what I cannot do for myself. I didn't know what to talk about, you know, because I got 5 years clean, you know, and that was beyond my wildest dreams. I want to talk a little bit about the 12th edition because that's what they tricked y'all into coming to here. When I woke up in treatment, it was January 23rd, 1999. I woke up in treatment. This was my second. Time in inpatient treatment, which was preceded by 3 outpatient treatments, which was preceded by a detox, which was preceded by 12 years of trying to stop on my own. You know, and I woke up and I used and. I went to a meeting, Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and then left there and used, you know, because I couldn't apply the spiritual principle of honesty. I wanted to use when I woke up, and I just could not get the courage to share that in a meeting, let people know what was really going on with me, and I used. And 2 days later, you know, I called some people in this program. One of them is in this room, and he had me meet him, and I went to a meeting, and I stayed at his house. He took me to my parents' house, and my father took me to another treatment center. And when I got to that treatment center, the lady did all my paperwork, and she was like, you can come in right now. You know, but I was like, cool. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to do that one more. Just a little, you know, a little something. You know, and so I told her, I said, all right, well, cool. What I'm going to do is go get my stuff, and I'll be right back. You know, and she's like, nah, well, you could somebody can bring your stuff here. We'll let you, you know. I said, but they don't know exactly what's everything I need. And she's like, you can write it down. You can write it down. She gave me a little pencil and pad thing. You can write it down. And I'm like, yeah. I said, but I need to let my folks know, you know, that I'm about to get this thing, get my affairs in order. Like I had some serious, nigga, you're homeless. You know, no job. What affairs? You know, we ain't gonna let the dudes up Edgewood know. Look, I'm gonna be hiding in treatment for the next 6 months. And what happened was, what she told me was, she said, Chris, if you're here, stay here. You know, and the reason I think she was practicing anonymity because she ain't know nothing about me. She didn't know my brother and her were friends. She didn't know that was my brother at the time. She didn't know the things I had done before I got there that day. You know, it didn't matter who or what connections I had, how much or how little, none of that mattered. She just knew what this program had to offer, and she was willing to share with me, you know. And I stayed. The way God works is she never came back. That was her last day. No. The next time I saw her, I had a year clean, and I was walking up to the front of this convention center. And I started crying. I was like, oh, what? Hugged her, and she was like, who are you? Who are you? I was like, I came to the treatment, son, and you told me if I'm here, stay here. And she's like, oh, I don't remember that, but if I did, then that was God. That wasn't, you know. I'm like, so, you know, God works through people. I truly believe that. God works through people. When they talk about living principles, which is living the steps, my first experience was that was, I think I had 15 months clean, and a guy asked me to do a meeting. It was at a lot of newcomers go there, and I was one of them, but I was going to be able to shine because They won't let me lead the meeting for the first time, you know. So I got on my, I'm going to do a meeting gear. Got there real early. You know, it was me, the coffee maker, and Key, you know, I'm there all early, and I'm ready to do this meeting, and the guy who was chanting was running late, so somebody else stepped up to the plate to secretary the meeting, and then he had another guy set up did it to speak, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is my meeting, you know. So I walked up there, I was like, how you doing? You know, I'm Chris, such and such asked me to come do the meeting, and the guy was like, well, he asked me to do it, too. You know, and the way the secretary resolved it, he was like, well, how much clean time do you have? I was like, I have 15 months. And he asked the other guy, and he said, 5 years. You know, and they looked at me, and the guy said, won't you have a seat? You know? And I walked back to my chair, so when they talked that old little big-ass little used shit. You know, and I wanted to leave because I was hurt. You know, I said, damn, he used clean time to judge. What, and I wanted to run out the meeting, you know, knock the little key tags off the secretary table. Y'all, kick the coffee pot over and all that shit. Fuck y'all. But I had just done a third step 2 days before that. I had just sat down and went through the third step with my sponsor. And he talked about making a decision, you know. And I made a decision to sit there on the front row. You know, when a guy said his name is such and such, he had an addict. You know, I was like, yeah, hey, what's up? You know, but I stayed the whole meeting. You know, and afterwards, I went up there and I hugged them both. And when I got outside, I was like, damn. You know, so this is what they mean by applying the spiritual principles, you know, before personalities. You know, it wasn't about him. It was about me, how I respond to his, you know, I can't change. It says it in the letter. You can't change like situations, but we can change how we respond to them. You know, and I sat still, man, and it was a good feeling. So when I'm asked to, bless you. Thank you. You're welcome. You single? Sorry. Shit. I'm sorry. Living principles. All right. It says work the steps. I'm sorry. This program is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, I strive for spiritual progress. You know, it's funny because this topic, it wasn't until I really got this topic that I started looking at. I've been looking at me more now than I have, I think, than my entire clean time, you know. Because everything I do, I'm like, damn, you know, I got living a program, you know. But it's good for me, you know. I thought it was about the IP plan for living a program, and I've been doing that here, you know, consistent, getting with that. One of the things I had to do, which was, as a result of this relationship, was go back with my sponsor to the fourth step. And the questions in the book about relationships. I was telling him, I said, I don't remember these questions. You know, I must have just brushed over them. You know, and not just my relationships with my intimate relationships, just my relationships as a whole. You know, I'll risk a lot of things for love. You know, sex can become a relief instead of the program. You know, and I got, you say, well, often, yeah, you know, and I kind of got caught up in that. I look back at that relationship with her, and I could see how I was shying away from the program. You know, my meetings attendance cut down. I was shying away from a lot of things. I dropped out of school that semester, you know. The reason being, it's just too much right now between work. And the bottom line is I wanted to be with her. Her world was a lot more interesting than my little menial world, you know, to me at the time. And but it's helping me a lot, you know, to go back. Like they say, you can use them over and over and over again. You can go back to step three, step two, step one, you know, and live these principles to the best of my ability. I'm just grateful to be a member of this program. I'm grateful for the committee asking me to share, and I'll keep coming back.
Thank you for sharing, Chris. Okay, before we open the meeting, for those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the podium one at a time and keep in mind there are other addicts who want to share. So we've got like 5 minutes.
Hello, family. I'm Betty. I'm an addict.
Hey, Betty.
And I just wanted to share, these guys were great. Not only do they work a program, but they got a sense of humor, and they're living this thing. And that's what it's all about, is changing our lives to be the better people that our higher power wants us to be. And the one thing I wanted to share about today was I am so impressed and so grateful to have all these people here. This convention, it was a lot of hard work. And we've been planning for it for months, and I'm with the committee that helped put it on, and this is what it's all about, is seeing all these people here and helping the newcomer and spreading the message of recovery. And I am just very blessed and grateful to have the privilege to serve. And if you've never done any service work, I'll tell you, that's how you keep it. Just like they were saying, you got to give it away. Thank you. Love y'all.
Okay, thank you for sharing. We can close the meeting with a moment of silence.